I wonder if any of you have ever gone to the edge. What I mean by that, it's a saying that my dad used to use when he came back from the Vietnam War. And it's a message that said that he would make a choice to risk anything and everything, injury, death, whatever it might be, to be a part of something bigger. Going to the edge. I wonder if you've ever been to the edge. I wonder if you've ever been to the edge financially. Maybe put your livelihood, your family, your home on one last risk to set yourselves up for life. Maybe you've gone to the edge on the sporting field. You were injured. You shouldn't have played on, but you chose to because you were part of a team. Have you ever gone to the edge? Or maybe another way to ask the question would be, what are you willing to risk your life for? What are you willing to risk your life for? Many of us would say, our families. Great, but what else? And maybe as you think about that, what would you be willing to risk your life for or to go to the edge for spiritually? When you think of your walk with God and what He asks us to do, what are you willing to risk for God? The opening verses of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians says this: as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The verse that Paul is quoting here comes from the Old Testament. It's from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. When Isaiah gave his prophecy, he was looking forward to the coming ministry of the Messiah. And the Apostle Paul quotes it here and says, that time is now. Jesus has come, He's died, He's resurrected, He's gone to heaven. The day of salvation, the day of God's favor is here, says Paul. For Paul, this is why the gospel message must go out. Now, he says to the church at Corinth that we're facing all these different issues, and we've looked at them in the last few weeks. One of the big issues that we have only touched on slightly is that they had a lot of false teachers in the church. They were trying to lead people away from following God's word. And Paul challenges the church here in chapter 6 to remember what they have in the gospel. Remember what they have been given by Jesus. And when you remember, not just don't forget it, but hold on to it and live for it. And go to the edge. Risk it all to hold on to the gospel and to share it with others. Now, remember chapter 5 we touched on last week? We talked about being ambassadors for Christ. You know, that is the same sort of picture here, that what we say, how we live our life, because an ambassador represents one country to a next and gives a message on. That's the gospel. Paul challenges the church at Corinth and says, represent, be the ambassador for God. Represent His kingdom here on earth. And we've been singing about that today. Represent His kingdom on earth and then share it with others. Be willing to risk it all for God. Paul says here, look at my example. Look at my life. Because I am willing to go to even until death. I'm willing to risk it all. I'm willing to go to the edge for God. Because Paul knew that there was something much bigger at stake than himself. He knew that there was something more important than his own comfort or safety. It was the gospel message. He knew what God had done for him. You know, this whole 2 Corinthians, I called this series, Don't Throw in the Towel. He was a church wanting to throw in the towel. He was a church wanting to listen to false teachers and turn their back on Paul and on God's word and on God and walk away from God. And Paul says, no, please. You can almost imagine, as we did last week in chapter 5, he writes this letter in tears because he's so sad. He loves them so much, but they're just turning their back on him. There's something much bigger than himself here. It's the gospel. Paul says, I'm willing to go to the edge. I'm willing to risk it all for God. And when you look here in chapter 6, he gives a picture of his life and what he's been through. Now, if you were going for a new job and you had to write your CV, and for example, maybe it was to do some ministry role or something, or to be a pastor, we would often, if we were doing a CV, talk about how great the church is, how maybe big the church is, the number of people coming or something like that. You know, here at Casino Baptist, as I prayed earlier, you know, we have a wonderful ministry with our preschool. You know, in our town, the town love it. We can praise it, you know, because in God's grace and glory, it ministers to the town. And that's a great thing to hold on to. Now, we might like to put that in a CV, but look at Paul's CV here in chapter 6. Paul says, I've been beaten up, I've been tortured, I've been jailed, I've been attacked by mobs, I've faced hunger, starvation. I've faced a few tough times, says Paul. Then they got tougher. Then they got bad. And a few, not long after writing this letter, he'll actually go to the edge all the way, risk it all, and his life will be taken from him. Now, it's easy in life when things are going well, when ministry and church and we see God at work and God blesses us and everything is comfortable. It's easy to stick it out, isn't it? It's easy to keep serving God in that situation. But Paul says, look at my life. Look at my example. I've suffered it all and still I serve God. I've suffered it all, but I'll risk it all to serve God because the gospel message going out is greater than anything that I can do, says Paul. Down in verse 3, he says this, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path. He was willing to serve God. He was willing to risk it all. And in what he said and how he lived his life, he did it in such a way that would not be a stumbling block to anyone. That he himself removes that so that God could use the gospel message to challenge people's lives. And he did it in hardship. He did it when life was miserable for him. I wonder whether we would do the same. Paul tells the church at Corinth, look at my example, follow my example, look at my life, and I still risk it all for God. What about us? I mean, let's face it, we probably will never have to face what Paul faced. We live in this beautiful country here. We may not have to go to the edge in a way where it's our life on the line in Australia for the gospel. But we have Christian brothers and sisters in different countries around the world today that do. We have Christian brothers and sisters in the world today that possibly read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and think Paul had it easy because they face so many challenges. During the week, you may have caught up, I saw the small news article that said that in the Middle East at the moment, in some of the countries there, that Christian fathers, when they go out to go to work each day, say goodbye to their wife and family because they may never come home, just because they follow Jesus. Many people in our world face so many more challenges than we do. And then each day they serve God, they go to the edge, they risk it all for God. What do we risk? Now, when we think about it, maybe we might get laughed at. Maybe someone might ignore us. Maybe if we might lose some friends if we want to share Jesus with people. And at the time, we might think that's harsh. But relatively, it's not harsh at all, is it? But do we go to the edge for God in those situations? Are we willing to risk whatever it is to share the gospel with people in those situations? And sadly, the answer is often no. If Paul was willing to risk life and limb to preach Christ, if others around the world today are willing to give their life to preach Christ, what are some small things we could do? Maybe you can think in your own life some ways in which you can get closer to the edge, take some risks, and to put your life on the line for Jesus. What can you do? See, Paul was writing to this church that had false teachers in it. And some of the things that they came out with, you know, we looked at a week or two ago, they were saying that Paul didn't come back to visit them and he only wrote the letter because he only went where he could make more money. And Paul said no. The false teachers even took it further now and they were saying, look at Paul's life. You know, he said, Paul's just said, this is my life. Look what I have suffered. And they would say in their church and what they were preaching was that if you suffered at all, if you were challenged at all, then you weren't a true believer. Now, life was, they said, God, if you followed God truly, life would be easy. So you looked at Paul's life here in chapter 6 and the obvious answer is, Paul doesn't follow God. Look how miserable his life is. He's not a true believer. They said Paul was a failure. Paul didn't follow God. But what do we read in verse 12? We, that's Paul, are not withholding our affection from you. He loves them. But you, the church, are withholding yours from us. He loved them even though they mistreating him. He loved them. He wrote to them out of tears. He wanted them not to throw in the towel, but they're accusing Paul of not being a believer. The false teachers were leading people in the church away, not just from following Paul's teaching, but bigger than that, following God's teaching. And they were turning their back on God. I wonder how often our church in our world today can be a lot like the Corinthian church. Now we can let side issues maybe pull us away from meeting together, from reading God's word together, from praying together. And we start to take our eyes away from God. We start to bring in other teaching. We start to have other focuses. And then little by little, we end up like the Corinthian church where you can hardly see God at all. Now, it's very easy for the church today to do exactly the same thing. So the warning we need to hear as Paul writes to the church at Corinth is for us not to be like them, but to realize that we could if we're not careful. Paul was willing to risk it all for the gospel. He was willing to go to the edge. And because of that, because he believed there was no greater message in the world than the gospel, he couldn't let the church at Corinth just follow the false teachers, close their door, and walk away from God. So he pleads with them. In verse 14, he doesn't want them to throw in the towel. He says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" He calls on them. This situation is so serious. The church was at a brink of closing and turning their back on God. The situation is so serious for Paul that people within the church were turning away from God that he says to them, "You need to separate from the false teachers." Now, we know the idea of being yoked. Now, you've got the idea of two ox together, they have the yoke between them. When one turns, they both turn, they go together. It affects one that is affected, affects the other. Now, often this verse is, we hear it used to say that a Christian should not marry a non-Christian, or a Christian shouldn't go into business with a non-Christian. Don't be yoked. And it can possibly have those implications. But that's not the context of the verse. Paul was dealing with these false teachers here who were saying, don't listen to Paul, don't listen to the gospel, don't listen to God, don't rely on Jesus. And Paul was saying to them, don't listen to them. And more than that, if you have to, if they're standing in the front of your church preaching that, run away from them. Separate yourself from them. Do not be yoked with them. Treat them as unbelievers. I wonder today when we start to hear false teaching, because it's so easy for us with the internet and everything, we have access at our fingertips of any teaching, any thought in the world. Paul challenges the church at Corinth not to follow any teaching, but follow God's teaching. And when we start to hear things, even when we hear things which are coming from ministers, bring it back to God's word. Because God's word is what is true. We need to bring it everything back to that and see what we follow. Sometimes I've had people say to me, Stephen, this verse is telling Christians not to spend time with non-Christians. But think about that for a moment. Is that true? Why do we have the gospel? What is Paul pleading with this church to do? Don't turn your back on the gospel because it's the most important message. Share it with others. Who do you share the gospel with? Non-Christians, non-believers. Therefore, this verse can't be saying Christians and non-Christians should not interact with each other. But also to know, it doesn't mean we follow them if they want to lead us away from God. See, that's what the false teachers were doing. They were saying to the church at Corinth, don't listen to Paul, don't listen to God, listen to us. And we'll turn our back and walk away from God. Paul says no. Paul pleads with his church, don't throw in the towel, don't give up. Paul says, look at my life. Be willing to risk everything, not for the man out the front, not for the false teachers, but for God. Be willing to go to the edge for the gospel message, because there's no greater message, says Paul. For us today in 2025, do we say the same thing? Do we feel that there is no greater message than the gospel? Or is there something else we think is greater? I know people who've left well-paid jobs because they thought it was taking up too much of their time away from their family and away from serving God. I know people who've become a Christian and their spouse has left them. They've been separated, but they didn't give up on being a Christian. I know people who have left non-Christian boyfriend and girlfriend relationships because they affected their relationship with God. I know people who've suffered major health issues because they've gone to other countries to serve God in unhealthy situations. I know of my own situation. The moment I chose to go to Bible college, I didn't have an opportunity to talk to my father for many, many years. Was I right to risk that? Were these people I know willing to risk it? Were they right that they risked that? Was it right for Paul to say to the church at Corinth, be willing to risk everything for God? And the answer's got to be yes, says Paul. If we truly believe the gospel is the greatest message, are we really willing to risk it? Are we willing to go to the edge for God? Are you willing to do it today for him? But maybe today you're sitting there thinking, I don't actually follow Jesus. I haven't made that choice yet. Can I get you to think about why not? If the greatest message about the greatest man who was willing to die for you so that you could be forgiven, why wouldn't you want to follow that message? Why wouldn't you want to respond to that message? And if you haven't, think about why not and talk to someone over morning tea or lunch about it. Because what is there greater in our world than following him? And if you know today, as most of you would say in this room, you do love and follow Jesus, how are we living our lives so that the gospel can go out? How are we living our lives? What are we saying so that we, like Paul, are not a stumbling block to people? So that God can use us for the gospel message. Many years ago, the British Missionary Society wrote to the great missionary David Livingstone, and they asked him this: have you found a good road to where you are? If so, great. Let us know so we can send more men to join you. Livingstone wrote back, if you have men who will only come if the road is good, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. Doesn't that sound like the Apostle Paul? Willing to go to the edge for God. Willing to risk it all for God. Are we willing to do that today? Even in our small way, what are we willing to risk? Let me pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we often have the head knowledge that says there's no greater message than the gospel. But then when we live our life, we don't show it. Father, forgive us for that. Lord, help our hearts and our actions match up with our head knowledge. Lord, I ask this week that you will help us, even in some small way, to risk something for you. To risk something so that the gospel message can go out. Lord, I ask today that as we leave this place, may we be your people serving you and not ourselves. And I thank you for this in your name. Amen.